Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verses 24 through 43. And this is in a series of parables that are recorded by Matthew. And so we've just come from the parable of the sower. And now we come to the parable of the wheat and the tares. Come in.
Maybe this would be the best place that we can sit.
So our New Testament reading, Matthew 13, 24 through 43. Hear now the word of God. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet: 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us of the weeds of the field. Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'" And that's the end of that reading. The parable of the mustard seed is the first one I'll talk about, because the parable of the wheat and tares has an explanation, whereas these other two don't. the parable of the mustard seed, the kingdom of God seems to start out small. At one point it was just Abraham and his family. And then it became a nation, but still a small nation compared to the entire world. And then at the time of Jesus, the kingdom of God seemed to be just a few disciples and followers of Jesus. But as the parable says, that kingdom would grow and eventually become big and even overtake everything. It will encompass the world, just as God promised that in His children, in His seed, all of the world would be blessed. And so we're still seeing the expansion of that kingdom, and we're still praying for the coming of the kingdom of God. And we need not be discouraged, because the completion of what Jesus has forecast here will surely come about. The tree will finally be mature and huge, and we must not despise the day of small things. And then the parable of the leaven is a similar idea. The leaven starts out as just little tiny grains, and eventually it permeates the whole loaf. Its work goes on unseen, but eventually the effects cannot be ignored. And so it is with the kingdom of God. It may grow quietly and be unseen by many, but eventually it will become too big to go unnoticed and overtake everything as it permeates the world. And then his parable of the wheat and tares, he has given us the explanation of, and it's an example of what we were talking about in Sabbath school this morning, where it points, Scripture interprets Scripture, and here we have Jesus, the Word, explaining His own Word to His disciples. And so we can profit the way His disciples did. The people didn't have the common people, that most of the people that heard the parable were not hearing this explanation at this time. But we're among the privileged who have it. And so, two time periods are put forth here. The current age, and that's the age we're living in. The enemies of God have got freedom to live and move and have their being, and they're intermingled with God's people. And it's not until the judgment that God will make the great separation between His people and those who are not His people. And maybe there's an element of what's in the other two parables here. For quite a while, those weeds go unnoticed, but then near the judgment, they become very apparent. So at the judgment, the visible church will be made clear who are God's and who are not. Today, it is a mixed multitude, both in the church, in the visible church, and outside. But on that judgment day, Christ will purge from His church all that are mere pretenders, those that are professors but not possessors, will be removed. Jesus said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." And it says elsewhere that all judgment is given to the Son. And so we know that it is Jesus who will be this judge, who makes the great separation. And what is that separation? Jesus explains it, and it's so startling, it's so horrific that if it were not in God's Word, we would not imagine it could be. That those who do not belong to Christ will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And I noticed, and Jesus isn't speaking parabolically right here in the last part of what I read. He's explaining the parable. That's where he talks about the fiery furnace. That's where he talks about weeping and gnashing with teeth. Those are not parabolic illustrations. Those are the real deal. That's what will be happening. There will be fire and anguish for all those who are outside of Christ. And for the righteous, what of them? He says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. But we're told none is righteous, no, not one. How will this be? We have the righteousness of God in Christ. And so the great cause of hope for the Christian, as we heard about hope in the call to worship, the great cause of hope is that Christ, our friend, is the judge. And the great cause of concern for all who are outside of Christ is this warning that those who are not His on that judgment day will be cast into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's go now to prayer. I'm going to be praying for a couple of matters that maybe not everybody is aware of everything on, so I wanted to explain a couple things. Lillian was in to see a cardiologist this week because she's been having a racing heart at times, and it's kind of a serious thing. And the latest news is that the cardiologist didn't find anything wrong, so you're going to a different specialist this month. And so we'll be praying. God answered prayers that it wouldn't be a serious heart problem, but maybe it's some other thing, some other serious problem or not. But we'll be praying for her healing. And then also, I visited with Jeff Crow this morning about his employment, and it's still a matter of great concern. I'll be praying for him. The place where he's working looks like will be closing, and he's searching for another place to work. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have so often heard the prayers of Your people and have answered according to Your perfect will, Your decree, the plan that You have established from eternity of how our lives would go and what would take place. We thank You that You have heard us. You've even moved us to pray for those things that are agreeable to Your will, and then You answer according to Your will. What a marvelous thing it is to have the ear of the God of all the universe. And we lift up to You the matter of Lillian and her medical condition. We pray, Father, that the the answer would come and the solution would be apparent, and that a good solution would be found, one that they can afford and one that is good for her. We thank You that the cardiologist didn't find any terrible thing wrong, and so the next specialist, we pray that You would give insight to that one and bring her through this affliction and train us all in Your house of affliction, Your school, and prepare us for heaven, we pray. but grant your mercy and help to that family and to her especially in this dealing with these symptoms. Father, you know the search that has been underway for so long for a new location for us. We pray that you would provide that for this congregation and make it clear to us that we would not be doubtful as to what to do, but that we pray that the opportunity you supply when it comes would be clear and that it would be a very positive thing in the life of this congregation. We thank you for providing this place and for preserving us through this transition. And we pray that you would continue that oversight and grant us all of the good things that you promised to your church as the bride of Christ and the body of Christ. And Father, we pray for Jeff as he is seeing a change coming in his employment. We pray that you would supply just the right thing for him at just the right time, as you so often do in response to our prayers. Care for this servant of yours, Father, and grant him the opportunities of ministry that he desires and that he and we think would glorify you and advance your kingdom and supply his needs in employment. We think of Mike Boss also and ask that you would provide him with a better situation, enable him to find what you have waiting for him in that regard, and bless your people in these ways. We do thank you that so many of us are employed who want to be and need to be employed. You have answered many prayers in these things in the past, and you have been faithful to every promise that you have made. And we ask, Father, that you would continue in blessing us as you have promised. Not because we're worthy to be blessed, not because we're better than anyone else, but only because we are your people and depend on you. And we pray, Father, for the nation, that you would convert our leaders and keep them from error and enable them to rule justly and righteously and grant a good outcome from the election, the national election that will be this year, and bring forward and prepare the one that you have in mind for that office and those offices of our leaders. And prevent us, Father, from worshiping idols in political ways or trying to accomplish things outside of your plan, but enable us to live quiet and peaceful lives as you provide for us that security and stability of a government. Help us now, Father, as we desire to worship you and continue in that worship. Enable us to worship you in spirit and truth and receive what we offer, we pray, by the blood of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.